ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Worship the King of Kings. Worship the Lord of Lords. Bless his holy name. Give him all glory. Give him all honor. Give him all adoration. Bless him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. There's no one like him. Give him all glory. Give him all honor. He has done great things. He has done marvelous things. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's worthy. King of kings. Lord of lords. I am that I am. He's worthy to be praised. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, my Father. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. Amen. Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless your holy name. Ancient of Days, we adore you. The Lord of Hosts, the one who has never lost a battle. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. The King of Glory himself. We worship you, O Lord. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Thank you for all you did for us in January. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for provision. Thank you for security. Thank you for joy. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, we are aware that not all who said Happy New Year are still alive now. It is by your grace and your grace alone that we are still alive. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This morning, O Lord, we come before you just to say thank you. And as we are thanking you, we pray that this month will be a very successful month for us in Jesus' name. We pray that this month will be a better month than last month in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that this month in every area of our life will be victorious in Jesus' name. And Lord, we are committing especially into your hands the armed forces of Nigeria this morning. In all areas of their lives, Father, show yourself mighty in Jesus' name. Defend them in Jesus' name. Protect them in Jesus' name. Promote them in Jesus' name. Build a wall of fire round about them in Jesus' name. Don't let the enemy ever penetrate through to them in Jesus' name. Every time they call on you, answer them in Jesus' name. My Father and my God, we are also committing all your children who have been faithful in the payment of their tithes and the giving of their offerings into your hands this morning. This month, embarrass them with your blessings. The kind of blessing that they will say, God, this is too much, send to them in Jesus' name. Whatever may be happening in the world, my Father and my God, just prosper your children in Jesus' name. This morning, Father, speak to us. Send your word. Let your word heal. Let your word deliver. Let your word set free. Let your word prosper. Let your word promote. At the end of everything today, take all the glory and give all the blessings. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and say, joy to the wise, That means joy to me. And I refuse to be a fool. If you believe that, put your hands together and then God bless you. You may be seated. We are delighted to see many of our brothers and sisters of the armed forces here today. The Almighty God will keep on taking care of you in Jesus' name. Very quickly, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. While you are opening your Bibles, don't forget that this Friday we have a very extraordinary Holy Ghost service coming. And the theme is, it is your turn to dance. Some people will begin to dance for the rest of their lives from this Friday. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We will read just verse 20 to 23. 2 Chronicles 20, from verse 20 to 23. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. All your enemies will be destroyed this morning. Yeah. They will destroy themselves. Yeah. I'm sure you know the story in 2 Chronicles. The whole story actually started from verse 1. The king of Judah was minding his own business, loving the Lord, doing his will, when all of a sudden, information came to him that three mighty kings have gathered themselves together to invade his country. Now, his country was a very small one. All the army that he could say he had could gather before just one church, and it would contain them. And they said that these three mighty kings were coming to invade his country. They just wanted to take him over. And he was frightened. So he ran into the house of God and said, "Almighty God, what am I going to do? You are the one who gave this land to my forefathers to possess. What have I done now that these people are coming to overrun us?" He said, "God, I hand the battle over to you." And the Almighty God spoke, as I'm sure he's speaking to somebody this morning. He said, "Don't worry, the battle is not yours. I will fight for you." And somebody here this morning, from now on, God will fight your battles for you. He said, "Okay, so what do I do?" And the Lord said, "What I want you to do is just get some people, those who can sing very well, put them in front of your little army and ask them to begin to praise me. Ask them to begin to say, 'Oh, the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever.'" How do we go to battle with the choir? I don't have soldiers. 3 armies are coming. Just do what I have said. Okay, Lord. So you got those people who can sing. You can you sing? That one say I can try. You, let's see how you sing. And that fellow is a croaker. They put that one aside. They got somebody else who can sing. They put the fellow there. And they began to sing and to praise God. And all of a sudden, two of the kings suddenly looked at the third king and they said, we don't like your face. We don't even know what is your plan. And they began to attack that king. And they wiped him out completely. And one moment they finished doing that one, the two people who were killing the army of the third one turned against each other. And not a single one was left alive. I have good news for somebody here today. For the rest of your life, God will fight your battles for you. Ask any general, and he will tell you that it is not cowardice to call on an ally when you are facing a battle that you know you can't win. If you are facing a battle that you know is bigger than you, then you call on your allies. Ally, come and help me. Because at the end of the day, provided you win the battle, nobody is going to ask you how many allies you called upon. The important thing is you win. How many people will be winners here this morning? Let me hear you say amen loud and clear. Wisdom, because this is the year of wisdom. Wisdom says whenever you are facing a battle you know you can't win, call in an ally. The Bible is full of examples. For example, the Bible says, any sick among you, call for the elders. In other words, you are sick, you have prayed on your own, you are not getting well. They say, call for the elders. Let the elders come. Let them anoint you with oil. Let them pray over you. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. What is important is that you get well. It's not that you will say, oh, what will the elders say? They will look at me and they say, eh, since all these days that you have been in the church, you mean you can't even pray over headache? Yeah, I've prayed over the headache for 1 week. The headache refuses to go. If my faith alone can't do it, elders, come and join me. And I'm praying for all those who might have any form of sickness here today. You won't go home with the sickness in Jesus' name. And then you see an example in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you read it from verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, the Bible talks about the widow of one of the sons of the prophets. The husband was a prophet, he feared the Lord, but he died poor and left the wife with 2 sons and a lot of debt. And like I've always told you before, every day when they sell, they see the sister, even though she was groaning under a heavy burden of debt. Sister, how are you? Ah, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Then one day the creditors came to her and they said, sister, you don't pay our money by tomorrow. We will sell your sons. That day when they said, sister, how are you? She said, all is not well. She ran to the man of God. The man of God was there all along. She knew she was in debt. She knew she couldn't pay. She knew that the great supplier is on his throne in heaven, but she didn't call on him. And God sat down in heaven, looking down on her, and didn't do anything. Because the word of God says, you have not because you ask not. The word of God says, if you call on me, I will answer. If you don't call, no problem. Finally, the woman remembered, I am facing a battle I can't win. Let me call in an ally. So she ran to the man of God and said, you know my husband is dead. You know my husband feared the Lord. And now the creditors have come to take my sons into bondage. The day she cried for help, that was the day the problem ended. The problem of someone who went today in Jesus' name. And we have another example in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Mark 10, 46 to 52 is the story of Bartimaeus. All these years, she sat by the roadside begging for alms. More than 40 years. She was in darkness and just tolerating darkness, tolerating life as a beggar. But one day, Jesus was passing by. And something told him, there's only one way you will get out of darkness. Call for help. So he began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Finally, they told him to shut up. He said, you are the one who will shut up, not me. I am tired of staying in darkness. I'm tired of being a beggar. He began to cry loud until Jesus said, go and bring him. When they brought him, he said, all I want is to receive my sight. And that day, this man left darkness that he had been in all his life. There might be one or two people here today who do not know what next to do. You are in total darkness as to where do I go from here? Problems are so many, you don't even know whether to turn to the right or turn to the left. Call for help. There is somebody who is the help of the helpless. And I'm believing God, you will get out of darkness today in Jesus' name. In Mark chapter 5, you can read the story from verse 20 to 24. Mark 5, 20 to 24. Is the story of Jairus. Jairus was an important man. He was a ruler of the synagogue. That means in our native language, you will call him a bishop. And then Jesus Christ was not recognized by the bishops. They called him an upstart. Where do you come from? Which Bible college did you attend? Who trained you? But Jairus knew that the only daughter he had was dying. He knew all the other bishops can't help him. But this fellow they called the upstart, he's healing the sick, opening blind eyes, performing miracles. He said, well, I think I will forget that I'm a bishop for now. I will go and ask him for help. Wisdom tells you when you are fighting a battle you know you cannot win, call in an ally. Is there anybody here this morning who will lift up his hand or her hand to God and say, help me today? But then, when you call in an ally and say, come and help me fight this battle because I can't fight it alone, the ally will give you conditions. You want me to come and help you? Oh yeah, sure, I'm coming. But these are my conditions. Maybe condition number one, all my soldiers who are coming to fight, you feed them. Agreed? Of course, yes, I agree. All right, if we defeat the enemy and we take over their properties, we will share in the following ratio. Because I'm the one bringing the bigger army, I will take 60%, and you are welcome. there'll be nothing to share if you don't come and help me. Everything I have will be gone. So you want, even if you want 70%, you can have it. When you call in an ally, the ally will tell you his conditions, and you must be willing to meet the conditions. Take an example. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. The Bible tells us that the people of Jericho, for years, they had been under serious curse. They were facing barrenness. They were facing death. Everything in their city was horrible. It looks beautiful on the surface, but deep down, problems. So they saw Elisha and said, "Please help us. The situation of this country is beautiful, but underneath we have problems." And he said, "All right, you want me to help you?" They said, "Yes." "All right then, do the following. Bring me a new cruise. Pull salt therein, and do that very quickly." They said, "Yes, sir." They didn't ask him questions. They didn't say, "What do you need the salt for?" They didn't say, what do you need the new cruise for?" "We need help." "Whatever you say, we will do." And you know the rest of the story. They brought the salt to him. He went to the source of their river, poured in the salt, and said, "All right, now I decree that from now on, no more sickness, no more barrenness, no more death." And the Bible said that was the end of the problem. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 that I mentioned earlier on, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, when this widow of the son of the prophet ran to Elisha and said, "I want you to help me. My husband is dead. Creditors are coming." He said, "All right, all right. What do you have in the house?" "Nothing, only one pot of oil." "All right, then do the following. Go back home, go to your neighbors, borrow empty vessels." "Do you understand?" He said, "Yes, I do." "All right, when you've done that one, shut the door on yourself and on your sons." "You understand?" "Yes, I do." "And then begin to pour that oil into the empty vessels." Pour oil into empty vessels. Everybody knows that if I pour oil from a bottle into a pot, by the time I try to pour the oil back into the bottle, it won't fill the bottle anymore. Do you understand what I asked you to do?" "Oh yes, oh yes." "Okay, all right. And tell your son to begin to bring more and more vessels. More and more vessels. One bottle won't fill one pot." "Anyway, yes, Lord, I will do what you say." You know the rest of the story. She went. She borrowed empty vessels. The man of God said, "Don't borrow a few." So she borrowed many. Everybody in the surrounding were looking at her. "What do you need empty vessels for?" She said, "That's none of your business. Can I borrow your vessel?" "Oh, sure. It's empty anyway. Take it." And before the day was over, her house was full of oil. And it was when there were no more vessels that the oil stayed. And she was able to sell the oil, pay the creditors, and for the rest of her life, she had abundance. But she obeyed the ally. Many of us here this morning, the only ally we can rely on is God Almighty. Is that true? If that is true, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Because the arm of flesh will fail you. Many of us don't even know who is a friend now. Many of the people who are smiling at you are wishing you dead. Many of the people you think are supporting you are praying that you will die soon so they can take your position. In a world where brothers are selling brothers in order to make money, in a world where children are selling their mothers in order to make money, you have nobody you can trust except the Almighty God. And thank God is more than sufficient. Thank God his name is the Lord of hosts. Thank God he can fight any battles. Thank God he can never fail. Thank God he will do all things in his own miraculous way. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah? Jehoshaphat went to him and said, there's no other ally I can call upon. You are the only one I know. Help me against these three kings that have come against me. God said, fine. You want me to fight for you? Yes, Lord. Good. All I want you to do then, that's my condition, get singers who will sing and praise the beauty of my holiness. Get singers who will tell the whole world that I am good, that my mercy endureth forever. Is that okay by you, sir? I have no option. I agree. I don't understand how praising you is going to solve this problem, but I will. And the Bible says, as they began to sing and to praise God, the enemies destroyed themselves. Read that story very well. Jehoshaphat did not fire a single arrow. Not one. His soldier didn't do any work at all. God just wiped out the enemy. Brethren, we have a God who can paralyze your enemies so that we won't have to fight them at all. David said, thou preparest a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemy. We have a God who will call your enemies to come and watch as you enjoy. We have a God who can make sure that those who say you will never rise will be there to see you reaching the top. And there will be nothing they can do about it. We have a God who is more than enough. But you must meet his conditions. There are many of us who are working hard. We walk like an elephant and we eat like an ant. We have nothing to show for all the years of hard work. There are some of us who have been in Lagos for all these years and we are afraid to go home because there's nothing to show at home. Because in my village, when you have gone to Lagos for a long time and you return and you have nothing to bring, they will say, hey, you've gone all these years, what have you brought? There's even a little song they sing when somebody has been in Lagos for a long time and he returns home to retire without anything. They will say, they live in Lagos. It is lack of money for soup that brought them back home. And the Almighty God says, I know that there are things called devourers. And I know you can't fight them on your own. He said in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Malachi 3, 10 and 11. He said, you bring all the tithes into my house and let me deal with devourers for you. Devourers. What are devourers? Ask me and I can tell you. Before I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I know, I've told you before, I was a lecturer in the university. I had a car. I had a driver driving me because I've just come from the bush. I can't drive in Lagos, so I got somebody to drive for me. I pay him from my own little salary. And by the middle of the month, I borrow money from my driver to buy petrol for my car. Why? Sickness today, problem tomorrow, visitors who are not contributing anything to me, who will say, we just come to greet you, and when they come to greet me, they will take a bottle of beer. Little by little, the money was passing away. And then Jesus saved my soul in this church. And I know for months I was laughing at the pastors when they say, pay your tithe. And I would tell them, thank you very much. I may not know the Bible, but I know mathematics. 100% is not enough for me. You ask me to give you 10% so that 90, how will 90% do what 100% cannot do? What's using my brain? I forgot that there is a God called the Almighty. Then one day it just occurred to me, aren't you being stupid? You say you surrender your life to the Almighty God. Why don't you live according to his principles? So I said, well, after all, the 100% is not enough. So what's the problem? Let's see what goes. So I began to pay my tithe, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, things began to change. You can go to the University of Lagos, go to their clinic there, and check my file. It's there. I'm sure they haven't destroyed these things. Almost every day before I met the Lord Jesus Christ, if I am not sick, my wife will be sick. If my wife is not sick, one of the children will be sick. So we are constantly going every day. And all of a sudden, I began to pay my tithe, and sickness ended in the family. All of it, go and check. You will find that there was a particular day when I didn't visit the clinic anymore. And that one lasted for several years before I left the university. Today, the car is giving a problem. They say it is carburetor. Tomorrow, they say it is fuel injection. And I didn't know that it was the children of the mechanic. When they solve one problem, they create another so that I can come back tomorrow. And I started paying my tithe. And one day, my car stopped in the middle of the road. And I looked around, and there was a mechanic not too far away. And I said, please help me. And from that day, he became my mechanic. And I need to go to him now only once in 3 months. The voras vanished. All those friends who will come and say, we just want to come and greet you. And they will eat my food and drink my drink without contributing anything to my progress. They stop coming. I pray for somebody here today. All the pipe C in your finances will disappear today in Jesus' name. Meet the condition of the airline. When he said, pay your tithe, pay your tithe. When he said, honor me with your first fruit, do it and watch him in action. See what he will do in response. And please, when he says, praise me, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the afternoon. Praise him in the evening. Praise him in the nature. There's a song among the Jebus. They said, God's food is praise. They said he doesn't eat the kokore, but he eats praise. And I think that song is correct. The Bible says in Psalm 22 verse 3, Psalm 22 verse 3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. Don't grumble. Wisdom teaches you that if you want your ally to stay with you, you give him what he wants. God inhabits the praises of his people. Wake up in the morning, praise him. In the afternoon, praise him. In the evening, praise him. People have asked me, they say, sir, we hear that every night by 11 o'clock you go out to pray. And many a times you are still there praying till 5 p.m., at times till 6 a.m. What are you praying about? I say, 90% of the time I'm praising God. That's all I'm doing. Singing to him, dancing. It's in the night, so nobody can see me whether I dance well or I don't dance well. It's in the night, so nobody can hear me whether I sing well or I don't sing well. And I'm not singing to you anyway, I'm singing to God. I keep on praising him. At times I will stop in one dark spot and dance a little. And then by the time the following day comes, all the problem that I was facing yesterday would have disappeared. Do what he says. Remember, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3, the leper came to him. and said, I have an incurable disease, but I know you have the power to heal me. Now, before I even ask you to do anything to help me, let me worship you. And the Almighty God said, well, you already know what I need. You have given it to me. So, okay, go ahead and behold. This Jairus man that I said came to call Jesus Christ to come and heal his daughter. What was the first thing he did when he got to him? He fell at his feet and worshipped him. In Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, Matthew 15, 21 to 28, when a woman said, my daughter is grievously vexed of the devil, help me to heal this daughter. And Jesus didn't pay any attention to her. He said, I know what to do. She fell before him and worshipped him. Why don't you learn from those who have gone before you? The day in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. Acts 16, verse 25 to 26. The day when they have captured Paul and Silas and the enemies have put them inside prison with the intention of killing them the following morning. What was it they did? They praised God. Because they knew that there was no way they could escape. There were soldiers all over the place ready to kill them. And the people who put them in prison, they were the authority of the land. There's no way to fight a force like this except to call in the ally. And so they began to sing and to praise God. And the Almighty God forced open the prison door. That God is still on his throne today. And I'm a living God that from this moment onward, he will be your ally. I am believing God that from today onward, you will never lose another battle. You won't lose a physical battle. You won't lose a material battle. You won't lose a marital battle. You won't lose a spiritual battle. I was talking to some wealthy people some time ago. And I was talking to them that, hey, the Bible says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. The security is of the Lord. And they were not paying attention because, you know, all their houses had high walls with barbed wires. And at the gate, there are policemen armed to the teeth. And I saw they were not paying attention. What's this boy talking about? Securities of the Lord. We have our own security. And suddenly, I just heard myself saying, there are some enemies that enter without passing through the door. They fly in at night. You can lock your door as much as you like. Lock your windows. They still fly in. Because wherever you allow in ordinary fresh air is big enough to allow witches and wizards to come. All of a sudden, they began to pay me attention. I saw, you think a policeman can stop a witch? Thank God for a God who neither sleep nor slumber. Thank God that the one who keeps in stretch and neither sleep nor slumber. Thank God that God is, who is the light of the whole world. And that God, from this moment, will be your God in Jesus' name. So this morning, before we begin to praise him, I want to appeal to those of us who are here who have not yet surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. Be wise this year. Because, like God told me at the beginning of the year, and I have told you, this is going to be a year of extremes. Extreme joy to those who are wise. Extreme sorrow to those who are foolish. Common sense teaches, if you can't join, if you can't beat them, join them. You can't beat the Almighty God. Join him. Surrender to him. He's the only ally you can rely on in the time of trouble. He's the only one who has never lost a battle. Give your life to him. And from this moment onward, anytime you face a battle, call on the ally. So if there's anyone here this morning who has not surrendered his or her life to Jesus Christ, come now and give your life to him. And he will save your soul. He will forgive your sin. God bless you, my brother. You are most welcome. Any other fellow who wants to come, God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, keep coming. Keep coming. This is your day. Keep coming. Keep coming. From all over the place, any other fellow, if you want to come, come now. God wants to be merciful unto you. He wants to save your soul today. Hurry up quickly. This is your day. Come on now. Let's keep on praising the Almighty God for these people. Come. The Lord is calling you. God bless you, my sister. You are most welcome. Come quickly. Come and surrender your life to him. He is the only ally you can rely upon in the time of trouble. God bless you, my sister. You are welcome. Anyone else coming? Yes, come on, brother. You are welcome. Come on, come on. This is your day. This is your day. Oh, some people will say, what will my friends say? How many friends can help you on the day of death?